south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know how I like to occasionally catch Latin news programs? They give you a feel for what's happening in your own neighborhood or thereabouts in your country. I found it's the best way to find out the good and bad, the ugly neighborhoods in your particular city or county, too. By the way, they don't have counties down here. Well, in a way they do. They call them departments, departamentos. So, for example, if someone says they live in Santa Ana, well, there's about 6,000 Santa Anas in Latin America, they'll say it's in the departamento de Escuintla or whatever. Anyway, lately, I've noticed some very weird stuff happening in the news department, the Latin news department. They're talking about a thing, a very new thing, called the Sueño Canadiense. Some of you out there get that. That means the Canadian dream. Yep. I am not kidding, and neither are the Latinos. It turns out in the eyes of many, especially those who have been deported from the States and those that see that Trump just might be serious about that wall, the sueño americano, that's the American dream, is no longer what it once was. Yep, it's losing its magical mystery qualities day by day. So now we suddenly have the sueño canadiense, and why not? Since Canadians are such nice, friendly, obliging people with massive, wide-open borders too. I guess it was just a matter of time. And word of mouth. So, there's now such a thing, and they're talking all about it in the media, the sueño canadiense. So, there's a good number of illegals transiting straight through the States, not going past GOA, collecting $200 in welfare money, and going straight to the Canadian border, especially to certain Latinos that are sick of being deported from the States. There always has been a revolving door, you know, and they've been finding, at least they've been hearing a lot about it on the grapevine lately, that Canada is, well, like the U.S. was years ago, under Clinton, Obama, and even before then. That is, once you're in for good if you choose, even if you commit a crime and you go to jail in Canada, or get picked up or whatever for being illegal. There's really no will or force to deport. For one thing, loading a bunch of illegals up on a plane in Houston and sending them back to Guadalajara, that's probably only a $300 or $400 per person expense for the U.S. government. Whereas if you have to send a plane load of them back from Montreal, well, you're talking about double that. But then again, I don't think governments really care about the expense. When they get in the hole, and they're always in the hole, either print, borrow, or raise taxes. So scratch that. That's logical reasoning, and that's not much attributable to any government, you know? Anyway, the sueño canadiense, that is the Canadian dream, snowball is gaining momentum. People on the street and in the little tiendas are talking about it. And I'm even seeing now in the big Latin newspapers, fly-by-night scam artists offering little afternoon seminars in hotel salons. The ads say they're spilling the beans on the secret tips on getting your residency in Canada. The cost, $50 to $100, and you really get nothing. It's total BS. These guys are true scam artists wrapped in the Canadian flag. Oh, they'll help you fill out the visa paperwork that the Canadian government provides to anyone. You can just download it offline for free and in Spanish. But virtually none of the attendees ever get a visa. Oh, by the way, here's something I'm sure you didn't know. If you do get deported from the U.S., you're forever disqualified from getting residency through the regular process. After being deported, you're tagged by the computer, and the only way you could get legal residency is if you married an American citizen or had close family members who are legal in the States sponsor you. But to do it on your own without the skids being greased through marriage or family and such, forget about it. Anyway, over the last few months, I've heard quite a few Latin Americans who've been deported from the U.S. say their next stop is Canada. So, today anyway, Canada's kind of like the draft dodger's dream during the Vietnam era. Let's go to Canada, right? Had a few friends who did that way back when. By the way, if you talk to any Latins in the know, that would be Latins who were illegally in the States and deported many times. They learn the rules quick, and they learn all the aid programs, too. They'll tell you that Canadians' welfare system's even better than the U.S. Well, isn't that nice? And again, they say, thank you, Canada. However, there are two big downsides to sneaking into Canada. It's not the actual sneaking in. That's the easy part. The border's huge, and there's even less manpower control or interference than the U.S.-Mexican border. In fact, vastly less. Like, for example, I've been told 100-mile stretches where there's absolutely no border control at all. The problem is, you see, it's a hell of a long haul through the interior of the U.S. to get to the Canadian border, and once you're there, it's damn cold at least half of the year, to which Latinos are absolutely not accustomed to, prepared for, or can't even imagine. So my advice to all you Latinos who are thinking of going to Canada, more power to you. Have at it. But you might want to brush up on those hockey skills. And by the way, don't worry too much about the arm or the neck tats. You'll be wearing so many layers of clothing, no one will see. Oh, and you know, I don't think I've met a single Latin person in my life who has not said to me, sometime I want to visit the U.S. or Canada because I just want to see, touch, and feel snow. Because, you see, Central America gets almost no snow at all. Oh, sure, in some of the very high mountainous areas, they'll get snow maybe once every 10 years, but it won't stick. Only quite a ways down in South America, where you get your four seasons back, do they have snow like they have up north in the States and Canada. In fact, down in southern Chile and Argentina, they have some popular ski resorts. So anyway, Latinos tell me all the time they want to be in the snow because they see it on TV all the time and they see those translated Hollywood Christmas movies. Little do they know that in most of those Hollywood movies, the snow is fake. But you know the old saying, never let the truth come between you and a good fantasy. Hey, you know, over the years, I've tried to explain to many Latin people that snow is not what it's cracked up to be. It's not like rain, where after a couple hours, it dries up and there's no remnant of it. But when it snows, sometimes you're stuck with it for months. And you northerners know it only looks nice and Hollywood-like for a day or two, and then it gets mucky and slushy and, well, basically disgustingly awful, especially in the big city. But that kind of talk is unimaginable to Latinos who've never seen this stuff. They don't get it. To which I say, knock yourself out. In fact, you can get a lethal dose of it in Canada. So believe it or not, for Latinos who've never really seen or touched this stuff, snow is actually part of the draw for that sueño canadiense. Speaking of Canada, I get lots of emails from Canadians who are dying to get the hell out of there. In fact, here's one that just popped into the mailbox. It says, hello, Johnny, I'm Canadian. Currently in Guatemala for dental work and real estate / property viewing with the intent of purchase off-grid, above the coffee plantations, as they say. He says, Johnny, I too have a technical background and anticipate meeting with various manufacturing, import, export, government, and private entities to determine the level of interest for a future involvement in a new project I'm trying to get off the ground. Then he explains the project and such, along with some photos, and says, Johnny, I'm impressed by the volume, depth, and analysis of your podcasts and would be interested in engaging the expat concierge services you talk about for viewing real estate, short-term rentals, residency process, paperwork leading to citizenship, etc. After reviewing your podcasts twice over the past 3 years, the opportunity and timing being ripe, I booked my ticket on Friday, September 1st, and arrived in Guatemala on Tuesday, and have extended my return to November 28th. That's around 3 months. Hell of a nice boots-on-the-ground journey, I'd say. Anyway, he says, you know what, Johnny? I feel more at home here in Guatemala than I do in Canada. No surprise there. Then he finishes up saying, thank you for your considerations and your accurate portrayals of the Latin culture and infrastructure. All right, me Johnny here again. Now, you might be wondering why I'm reading this email, apart from the fact that I'm discussing Canada a bit, and he's from Canada. Well, you know, one thing he failed to mention was if his Spanish was any good, because, you know, here in Guatemala, most of it, and I'd say probably 95% of it's way off the gringo tourist trail. And there's really only one place, the town of Antigua, Guatemala, where you could get by pretty well not knowing any Spanish. You see, it's an eco-tourism, tree-hugger kind of town, with English speakers coming in and out all the time. Anyway, you have to admire the fact that he listened to every one of my shows twice. And for those of you listeners who've gone way back into my archives, I mentioned something quite important that I'm going to mention again. It's been a long time, but it's really worth repeating. Why? Because Dennis here, our new Canadian friend who wrote this email, tried a method I mentioned a long time ago, a very good way on how to locate a translator / guide by doing some bulletin board recruiting at the English department in a Latin public university. Because that's where you'll find hungry, broke, bilingual translators who would just love to practice their English as well as hang out with a real live gringo. Now, for a university student studying English, that's a real opportunity because there are few gringos off the tourist trail. That means no one to practice with who could really show you the nuances of the language. So if you need a translator slash guide for a very long term, weeks to months, that would be the way to go. Of course, he did mention the expat concierge service, and those ladies have cars and can help you out with practically anything. You Skype with them, give them your wish list, and they'll set up the itinerary and get everything in order before you even get down. So when you arrive, you can go down that checklist and hit those bullet points, boom, boom, boom. Whether it's visiting doctors, hospitals, schools, insurance companies, banks, internet and utility providers, farms, plantations. In other words, they'll hook you up with the people and things that you're going to need if you're going to move here to Latin America. In fact, I've been told a number of times that just a few days with the concierge ladies is like spending 3 or 4 months yourself down here just kind of nosing around. However, some people like to spend a couple of months just nosing around on their own, like our Canadian friend, Dennis. Absolutely nothing wrong with that if you got the time, the inclination, and the adventurous spirit. Which is why, in that case, you just might want to hook up with a bilingual slash translator guide who you can contract by the week or month. Of course, in that case, I always recommend you hook up with a college student who's taking English as his or her major. And you know, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, everyone wants to learn English, but almost no one learns it correctly. So if you go to the nearest Latin public university, not private, stop in the English department where all the English majors are hanging out, put a notice up on the bullet board spelling out what you're looking for in a translator slash girl or guy Friday, chances are you'll be overwhelmed with responses. In fact, maybe even some of the teachers will offer to get into the act. So then how much might you have to pay them? Well, I'd say $300 or $400 a month. Yes, a month. Plus expenses, of course, hotel and meals if you're going long distances, etc. Oh, and by the way, you wonder why I say public university. That's because private universities are expensive in Latin terms, really, really extremely cheap in gringo terms. By the way, they're not called colleges here. Colleges are high schools here in Latin America. They're called colegios. The word will fool you because colegio or college is spelled almost exactly the way college is in English. What we call colleges, they call it universities, or la U, the U. Attendees won't say they're going to universidad, though that's what they should say. Instead, they'll say la U, the U. Anyway, to avoid confusion, I always recommend single gringos and gringas watch what they say. If they're into the dating and mating scene, they should never tell a Latin person that they're dating a college-aged person. Because down here, that means you're dating a high school kid. Nope, not good. So once again, down here, college or colegio is high school. But where were we? Oh yeah, why you don't want to go to the bulletin boards in private universities looking for an English translator slash guide or assistant? Can you guess why I don't think it's a good idea? That's because private universities here are filled with entitled rich kids. Even if they're not rich, they grow up entitled because they almost all have maids at home, etc. Just like most college kids up in the States, their parents spoil the hell out of them, give them everything. They don't have to work to put themselves through the university like public school kids do. They're heavily into fashion and social media, etc. In a word or three, they're just not that motivated or hungry. So if you do go posting a nice ad on the bulletin board of a private university, you might get a lot of takers, a lot of tire kickers, but for the most part, they won't need you and your money to survive because their parents give them a nice safety net. They pay for everything. So though they might agree to work for you, they just as soon blow off a scheduled work day if their friends come up with some kind of activity that seems a little more enjoyable. Man, I've seen that in action a number of times. Last minute phone call with a flimsy excuse, sometimes no phone call at all, and they just don't show up. However, public university kids are there for a reason. They're from families that can't afford to send them to private school, so they're always on the edge, always broke. Sure, they dress nice enough, but in reality, most of them barely have enough money for lunch and the chicken bus. They don't live in very nice neighborhoods and surely don't have a car. So the majority don't have driver's licenses either. So if you hook up with one of them, you'll have to supply the transportation, rent a car, whatever. That as opposed to a private university kid who almost always have his own car or access to the family car. That said, our Canadian friend sent a copy of a posting that would go on the bulletin board at one of those universities. Part of it is quite good, and other parts of it, well, I'll share my comments. By the way, always put up your postings in English. That'll qualify them, separate the men from the boys, so to speak. So here's Dennis's bulletin board ad. He starts it like a business letter and says, to the English major students, subject, translation, and guide service. Duration, September 3rd through October 4th, 2017. Then it says, wanted, two or three responsible, serious, Spanish-speaking English students to translate for a Canadian during various meetings, activities, and appointments for the next three-week period. Preference will be given to students with a technical or medical background expressing a keen interest in their own future. Then he goes on to say, this is an excellent interactive opportunity to practice and hone your own conversational and technical English skills with a seasoned English-speaking professional mechanical design consultant. Should the fit, coordination, and timing allow, you will have access to the experience and wisdom of an individual with 37-plus years of business experience. Then he lists the activities and appointments that this work might include, like, for example, 1. Trip planning, 2. Dentist selection and appointments, 3. Chiropractor selection and appointments, 4. Real estate housing viewings, 5. Local attractions, 6. Corporate legal meetings, 7. Corporate association meetings, and it says it's anticipated that planning will occur in the evenings between 6 and 8 p.m. and attendance at the meetings and appointments will occur during normal business hours. Then he lists the benefits for the person or persons being hired. He says all expenses are paid, the meals, fuel, parking and tolls, accommodations if required, plus a small negotiated per diem, depending on the timeliness, professionalism, the daily events and efforts expended, etc., etc. Then he says a clean, reliable vehicle is necessary. All right, I'm going to comment there and saying I think he's asking for way too much. There's very few clean, reliable vehicles owned or driven by college, university students here in Latin America. You heard what I had to say before about a vehicle. Sure, it's necessary, but I think you'd be much better off with a rent-a-wreck. And yes, they have rent-a-wrecks down here. They don't call them that. They call them regular rental outfits, but there are a lot of wrecks you can choose from. Of course, you could always go to the usual suspect rental car agencies. They're always around the big airports, Hertz, Avis, Budget, you know the names. But you'll find, here in Latin America anyway, it'll generally cost around $50 a day minimum for short-term rental. I said 50, not 15. However, as usual, if you rent by the week or the month, you probably could get it down to maybe $25 or $30 a day. But, like I said, there are a lot of non-franchise rental agencies here in Latin America because the industry is not regulated and monitored like up in the States. That means any mom-and-pop rental company can get into the act, which is a good thing, but few gringos and expats know about that. They usually stick with the franchises they know. So why not rent from a mom-and-pop agency? The cars are kind of scruffy-looking, but they run fine, so who cares? In fact, I know of some expats who have used these agencies and have paid as low as $15 a day. In fact, I even know of a recent case where a gringa rented a car from a mechanic. It seems like a lot of mechanic shops will rent you one. They often have one or two around just for that purpose. So in the end, that gringa lady told me she ended up paying around $12 or $13 a day. And the car, a perfectly fine but slightly dented 10 or 12-year-old compact. All you need to do is do a little preliminary homework on OLX.com. That's the Latin Craigslist. And I'm sure you could quickly find something decent to drive for around $15 to $20 a day. But remember, OLX.com is all in Spanish. So you can either go through a Google Translate or get off your dead ass and learn some Spanish. I know. There are lots of cool little translator tools and apps that are just coming out. Which means in the very near future, maybe even in a year or so, those little translating programs and devices are going to be so good, you really won't have to learn any Spanish. But until then, you should brush up on at least some of the bare bones basics. You know, as I've mentioned on a previous show, there's around 200 words that could get you in and out of most any common situation here in Latin America. All right, but back to that bulletin board ad for an English translator slash guide, assistant, aide, whatever. Then he says in another paragraph that he might want to make recordings or transcripts of the meetings, etc. Then he asks whomever is going to respond to his ad to put down the dates and the times that they're going to be available. Then finally he says, as a large number of responses are anticipated, only those selected will be contacted within 48 hours. Thank you in advance, etc., etc. Now, I don't think he's going to like what I have to say now, but I'm thinking he's making this thing way too complicated. He has a giant list of demands and conditions that would be just fine if you were hiring somebody up in the first world for a permanent position. But this is the third world where people are much more relaxed, and an ad like that, I think, would scare most of them off. You must always keep in mind, everyone here, even so-called professionals with degrees, are on mañana time. And with an ad like that, he sounds like he will really crack the whip. Now, I'm not saying he won't get responses to this, he just might, but I know the Latin public, and I know by this ad, he's going to come off as a pretty tough taskmaster. What he really should have done was set up a one-on-one phone consult with me, and I could have set him straight from the beginning. I would have made that ad much shorter, much kinder, friendlier, and, well, less authoritarian and demanding. And, you know, that's one of the problems with green gringos and expats first coming down. They have to come to terms with the fact that this is the third world, and why do you think they call it that? Number one, people down here, no matter how educated, do not have the same thought processes and values when it comes to business, jobs, and work ethic. And when it comes to details, man, forget about it. If there's one big educational concept that seems to be missing throughout the general Latin population, is the lack of a broad or world vision of things. Again, no matter how educationally advanced or how many titles and diplomas a Latin person has, Latins are not widely read. In fact, they rarely read at all. And when you ask people why, they'll say books are too expensive. And they're right. If you go into a store and find the Spanish version of a gringo bestseller, they're three or four times as much. But these days, it's a real weak excuse. Yep, they're basically free if you have the internet. In fact, every U.S. public library has an internet presence, and they have books in Spanish, too. I just downloaded 500 in a zip file for free. But do you think the Latin public even knows about that or would investigate it? Yeah, right. It takes a gringo like me with fourth or sixth grade Spanish reading and writing skills to figure that out. Here's a good example. You could find a nice, smart, graduate computer engineer here in Latin America, predictably adequate, even good in his own field. But if his refrigerator, car, or washing machine went on the blink, he wouldn't know where to start. Whereas an equivalent or sort of equivalent, a computer engineer up in the States, well, anything in the house breaks down, he'll tackle it. He'll give it a shot because he's got a broad understanding of electromechanical things, including cars, TVs, radios, cell phones, the works. Whereas a Latin person, even a degreed engineer, generally doesn't have enough tools around the house or the right ones to even take a back panel off of a washing machine. I know, I've seen it. They're just not that curious about things. That's not to say there aren't a lot of technical types of people up in the States who aren't all thumbs, too. However, it's a fact, if you were stuck on Gilligan's Island, you'd definitely want to be shipwrecked with an American professor, not a Latino professor, for one. He'd be too busy chasing Ginger and Marianne to solve any real problems. Oh, and speaking of OLX.com, the Latino Craigslist that's in Spanish, you can, by all means, post your translator want ads on that service, too. Though that's kind of like a shotgun out the back door. In other words, you might get a lot of takers, but they just aren't that qualified. Which is why if you post your ad at a Latin University English department, you're creating a self-selecting sample. All right, let's talk for a second about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. Hey, you know, Bitcoin just hit a social platform milestone. There are now more hits for Bitcoin than Beyonce. And get this, not surprisingly, there are now Bitcoin casinos in the ether, yes. Unlike the movement of net gambling sites to offshore island jurisdictions to avoid taxes, restrictions, and quasi-illegalities, Bitcoins don't need a jurisdiction. They're all at once nowhere and everywhere. They're in the ether. Now, some people say cryptocurrencies won't be treated as real money till certain milestones are reached. Not, for example, till they're widely accepted by churches, drug dealers, and hookers. Well, guess what? That's already happening. And on top of that, political scumbags are more than happy to take campaign contributions in crypto as well as bribes. So I guess it is money after all, huh? By the way, at my upcoming January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, we're going to have a special guest. Due to overwhelming demand by email and such, our world-famous Bitcoin Dan will be doing a presentation. You longtime listeners probably know the story. He came to my second seminar and has been here ever since. Meanwhile, and this is no small thing, he's the first person to ever teach a cryptocurrency course at an accredited university. Believe it or not, here in Central America, amongst our seminar crowd, people who have stayed down here, we have a truly amazing contingent of Bitcoin early adapters. So, Bitcoin Dan will be speaking on cryptocurrencies, but I told him he had to tone his vocabulary down to us mere mortals. Guys like him, you know, who are living, working, and breathing in their rarefied little spaces, they think that when they speak of such things, we're all right there with them, and that's not necessarily true. So he will be giving us the real dope on the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency world. And he'll be talking about all those other cryptocurrencies that he calls shitcoins. Oh, your eyes will be opened, all right. You'll hear his predictions for Bitcoin and the other few cryptocurrencies that he thinks are worthwhile. By the way, you'll be surprised to know he's really down on Ethereum, and not in a good way. You'll find out why and walk away very surprised, even shocked, when you hear what he has to say. By the way, that's one of the cool things about coming to the seminar. Nothing static, things are changing all the time. We have very special guests that you would never get to speak to on a personal basis in any other situation, like Bitcoin Dan, and guys like Google Ads Specialist to the nth power, Robert, who was at our last two seminars. And I'll tell you something. If you knew the backgrounds of some of the people that have been down, well, you just wouldn't believe it. Talk about oversized brains and secret lives. In fact, I've had more than a few attendees tell me, Johnny, I could live anywhere in the world. I could live anywhere in the States, build myself a compound, have a small army, be the king of preppers. But really, is that any kind of life? What's that going to be like? So why then do you think that people who could live anywhere are choosing Latin America? Of course, not all my attendees are high rollers, bottomless pits of money. There are a lot of very smart and clever expat wannabes of modest means. They want out. They see the writing on the wall, too. So attendees come from a wide spread of income brackets, but they're all way above average, many of them specialists in their fields. All adventurous forward thinkers, the kind you really want to hang with. So sign up today for my Expat Insider Seminar. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com. See what the fuss is about, and you can still get in on those early bird discounts too. Now, I get emails occasionally saying, Johnny, why do you have so many repeat offenders? Well, you'll know if you come down and experience it for yourself. However, if you just can't swing coming to the seminar, remember, the very next best thing is to take my Expat Essentials course. Just go to expatlionb.com and check out my video. It explains everything. Now, for those of you who are kind of stuck and are deliberating your plan B, you can always do a one-on-one phone consult with me. And finally, don't forget you can kill two birds with one stone by coming down to the seminar and applying for your Guatemalan permanent or temporary residency. Oh, and while making your plans, don't forget about those famous John Galt pre and post seminar trips. If you're coming all the way down, you'll want to add 4 days to the front or back end of the trip, or even both. It's a really great way to generate business ideas and a way to get some very substantial boots on the ground.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.